Welcome to Harvest Time. My name is Chris Harper, and our host on this program is Pastor Gary Walton, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Every week, we spend these 25 minutes together telling you the stories of our church by interviewing our members and other friends of the ministry. We'd like to invite you to join us at Harvest Baptist Church this week. We have two services on Sunday, the first at 8:45 a.m., the second at 10:45 a.m. We have Spanish translation during the 8:45 a.m. service, Japanese and Korean translation at the 10:45 a.m. service, and that's also when we live stream at hbcguam.org, hbcguam.org. This week, we're still in our series from 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Let's begin today's Harvest Time by welcoming Pastor Gary Walton. Hi, Pastor.
Hey, half a day, Chris. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we're coming back this Sunday just walking through this passage and talking about the generosity of God's people for the needs of others and just thinking about God's call to us as his people and the blessing that it is to be joyfully generous to God and his church. And so we'll be talking about that just directly from the scriptures. We'd love to have you come and join us again this week. Well, as you're listening today, we're actually going to bring you back in time because we're recording at the studio in the first week of March, connected with our missions conference, because we have the opportunity to record and talk with several of our missionaries and missionary families that were here for the missions conference. So we're really glad to have with us in the studio Peter and Jessica Blake, missionaries to Australia. Welcome back to Harvest, you guys.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good to be here.
Thank you.
Our missions conference, we're in the middle of it right now as we're talking, has really been fantastic. It's been thrilling to for our church family to be reacquainted with the Blake family. And actually for me, for the first time, we've been supporting, praying, reading about, hearing the ministry there, and really thankful that we've had the opportunity to actually connect. Thankful for your ministry. Faith and I have really enjoyed our time with you. But Harvest has supported you and your ministry, I think, since 2002, right from the beginning. Is that right?
I think around 2003, but very soon after we arrived back into Australia, yes.
Okay. And I've had a privilege to be part of your ministry, and God's been blessing that. You're currently serving on the pastoral team at Trinity Baptist Church in Cairns, is that right? Then with some dreams for that church to be church planting in that area, well, I want to ask you about all of that. But thank you guys for being willing to be with us. Peter, you grew up in Australia, right?
That's right. Grew up in Brisbane, Queensland. That's the northeastern state of Australia.
Tell me about growing up there. What's different from Guam? And
well, it's a little bit cooler at times than Guam. Further north you go in our state, it becomes more tropical, but our winters get a little cooler. At least we think so in Brisbane. But yeah, growing up as a kid in Brisbane, an Aussie kid, loving the stuff most Aussie kids do, like playing cricket in the backyard, going to school, being with your mates or your friends. But I grew up in a pastor's home, so thankfully that was my introduction to the gospel as a child.
Wow.
Which is rare for most kids growing up, of
course. Yeah, I want to ask you some questions about that. Just, I know our listeners will be interested in this, you know, just the spiritual culture and the temperature in Australia and how God's at work there. Jessica, you guys have four children. Can you tell us about your kids?
Yes, we have four children, ages 23 to 16, two boys, two girls, and Nathan, Abby, Jeremy, and Krista. They're all not all in different places, but all definitely differently gifted, of course, and we just enjoy seeing how the Lord is helping and using them in their different capacities. Nathan is an auto electrical apprentice, finishing his four-year apprenticeship this year. Abby's overseas studying music education. Jeremy just finished high school. He's got a day job and sort of looking to see what he wants to do long term. And Krista's still in school, very musical girl, very organized as well. And she's the caboose of the family.
Well, Harvest cares about your family and cares about your kids. We've had the privilege of watching kind of from the distance, but really watching them grow up. I think you'd said your oldest was just a baby when you went back. Mm-hmm. And so really privileged to see that and pray along with you for them. Now, Peter grew up in Australia, but you didn't. You grew up stateside. Where'd Yes. you grow up? And then how did you guys meet?
I grew up in South Carolina. My parents were in full-time ministry. And Pate eventually came over to study in the U.S. to study at a Bible college. I went to Christian University and studied music education there. And I ended up staying. I hadn't really wanted to stay around. I was burdened for being on the mission field. I wasn't sure where that would be. But it was a bit of a obedience to the Lord to stay. Mm-hmm. I knew I was supposed to stay for a while anyway. And obviously the Lord made that clear when Pete arrived for seminary where I was teaching. And we had mutual friends. We were set up. but it was a wonderful time.
Wow, that's great. Let me back up just to your personal testimonies, your spiritual story. Peter, you said you grew up in a pastor's home. It didn't make you a Christian. How did you come to know Jesus?
Yeah. Well, at some point, I guess I just assumed Christian parents, Christian faith, and that made me a Christian. But it wasn't until I heard my mom really explaining the good news of Jesus to my little sister Elizabeth, who's 2 years younger, that it finally hit me that I'm the sinner. Mm. And I deserve God's judgment, but Jesus lovingly, graciously took the penalty for my sins. And even as a young kid, I could understand that. And I knew God was real, and I knew I could call out to him. And so a precious verse to me is Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I knew it was true. I knew it was real. And in simple faith, I called out as a young boy.
We're just talking about that passage Monday night. The verses that come after that talk about how do we hear, and how can we hear without the word, and how can we gonna hear unless somebody's sent to tell us of the scriptures, because whosoever shall call. So how do we make sure that they know, which it's a big part of your life, in your life calling. Mm-hmm. Jessica, you said you also grew up, your parents were in ministry. Mm-hmm. What about your story?
My mother was a first-generation Christian and was very keen to make sure her children understood the gospel. And my first memory in life is hearing my mother give the gospel to me.
Wow.
And I, at that point, I was four, and I went to her and I said, oh, Mom, I want to, you know, I need to pray. And I prayed. I don't remember what I said, but I know I wanted to be a Christian. Mm. I don't think I understood, well, I know I didn't understand fully till I was probably 9. I went to a Christian camp. I heard a gospel message, and I understood more at that point that Jesus' death was in my place. And I don't think I understood that fully until that point. And so at age 9, again, when I was at home one night, I called out to the Lord, and I think that at that point I really repented of my sin. So I think at age 4, you know, if I died at age 5, I think I would have gone to heaven. I had called upon the name of the Lord, but as time went on, the Lord more fully helped me to understand the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. Thank you guys for sharing that. For maybe even people that are listening to understand, even if you've grown up in a pastor's home and full-time ministry home, the Bible talks so clearly about this, that there's a place for each of us to make our own personal faith commitment to Jesus as the one who's forgiven our sins personally and the one who would be the leader of our lives. We don't just, you know, automatically get it because our parents, you know, are followers of Jesus. Right. There is a place where we, but I love that idea too, the Bible talks about just the faith of a little child. I mean, in some ways, and Jessica, you explained that so clearly. Maybe you didn't know, of course, all the answers of the Bible, but you knew that Jesus loved you and you wanted to give your life to him. And God hears that. And as he brings truth in to our lives, a truth on which we've placed our faith in, it's really an amazing thing. Thank you both for sharing that. Peter, then what about, you're also serving as a pastor. How did you come to the spot where you felt like that's what God wanted you to do with your life? I'm sure you had many options, so.
Yeah, well, actually, it was not at the top of my list. As a teenager, I had other dreams and plans, and I thought I was going to be a carpenter. We'd call them a chippy.
A chippy.
In Australia, we shorten everything, give everything a nickname. And I know I was starting to pursue that. I was able to finish school a bit earlier, get some training and experience. But there weren't as many jobs around, actually. And through a series of circumstances, and an evangelist came to our church at that time. And I came under heavy conviction. Even though I would have professed Christ, my life was really more about Pete Blake, what I wanted to do. And I was just trying to get God to rubber stamp my life.
Yeah.
And I realized God was tugging on my heart to commit myself to the gospel ministry. And I really did not feel capable or competent. I thought, well, I'm not the first one, Lord, to choose. But that really didn't matter. And I remember distinctly giving all of my life, all of my future over to the Lord. And there was a dramatic change from that point forward. And then I sought training and the Lord just opened up doors for that and then for ministry.
It reminds me of somebody I had influence in both of our lives. I had a conversation recently with Les Olala, Dr. Olala. One of the things that he said again, which you have heard before, but he said again, there's not enough people, Christians, willing to have an abandonment theology. And what he meant by that, what he's meant by that all along is, I'm giving up my life. Whatever you want, wherever you're sending me, I am abandoning my plans for life and giving them to you. And, you know, our burden is that here at Harvest and at Trinity Baptist and all across Australia, that testimony would grow. There'd be more and more that'd be willing to abandon their lives as you guys did. Jessica, you said you had a burden for missions, and
yes,
God didn't release you that until you and Pete together went back. I know from your story, you went to Australia as a new mom, and that's a whole new life. You're going to some place that Pete's very comfortable with. He grew up there, but it's brand new for you. What did that look like for you?
I was a new mom, and the year we arrived, or shortly after we arrived, we were expecting our second child. So I think my brain was sort of fried with two little ones and sleepless nights and stuff. I think I didn't really notice at the time that it was difficult. Looking back, I can see I wasn't necessarily accepted in the community, even in the church for a while, being an American. But I was sort of, I think the Lord kept me pleasantly blind to that. Pete was very helpful. It really is wonderful being married to a native of that country, because I could ask him the questions I needed to ask, or what does this mean? Or he would say, you know, he would explain to me maybe how people were thinking, because the mentality is so different. We speak English the same, but it's a very different culture too. The U.S. or any other English-speaking country. So it was, I think it was hard in some ways, but it was an adventure. I did enjoy it. I don't look back with any regret on that.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. It's hard to fly under the radar, though, because you have an American accent, right?
So yeah.
It just...
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, even I remember later, because we were going to this camp ministry, and it was primitive out in that camp property. And when the church we were going to was talking about whether to have us come or not, I found out, you know, 15 years later or whatever, that some of the people said, well, you know, this wife of Peter, she's not going to make it out in the in the bush, you know.
Yeah.
I always enjoyed it because I was prepared to go into missions, and missions in my mind was kind of third world missions. And so it was fine. We actually got to do some third world type things
right.
when our power went out for 2 weeks and we were washing clothes in the creek and, you know, different things like that. So, it was the perception was definitely different maybe than what I thought.
Yeah, that's great. If you would tell us about the church in Australia. Are there many Christians in the country? What's the spiritual state of, you know, maybe the land of Australia?
Yeah, there's churches of, I'd say, all different flavors. Not as many Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches. It's not like a church on every block, like there would be in some parts of the United States. And so you really notice that the Christians there really, they really value fellowship and friendship with one another. Even if we're not of the exact same denomination, if we know and love Jesus and believe that same gospel, we're immediate friends.
There's not that many, so you feel that.
Exactly. And so our church gatherings on Sundays in those type of churches, they're very precious. People will stay for quite a long time because that's their one time in the week away from everything else, and they can just be with their Christian brothers and sisters. It's very precious.
So would most Aussies, am I saying that right, would most Aussies consider themselves just secular, or is there some religiosity there, or what would be the typical or the majority of people?
Yeah, in decades gone by, we would consider ourselves a religious, even Christian country because of our British heritage. You had Anglicans, and then of course it was Catholics, had a large part in our early years, but now it's very nominal to next to nothing. And there's a growing percentage of our population that has no belief in God, and that comes up on our census every 6 years. So that's the increasing majority now. And we're having generation that's coming up. They've never heard the gospel. It's just so new. It's very refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been tainted, although
you've
still got a generation that have gone to maybe a private religious institutional school, and they've had a very bad experience. They thought, this is religion. I don't want any more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's become a barrier to many accepting the true story of Jesus and what we believe about him.
God has always called out a remnant, you know, in his work. But would you sense that people in Australia, are they spiritually seeking? I know there's always be some, but in general, or just heading on their own path, not really a lot of spiritual thought?
I think it's a mix, but I think post-COVID, we've seen an increasing number of people that are genuinely spiritually seeking, some obviously seeking in the wrong areas, but there's a greater acceptance that there's a spiritual component to our lives, even if people don't know what the answer is. So I think that's sometimes an inroad into talking to people about the God who made them. And yes, you're sensing something because you have a spirit. And God has designed you for a relationship with him forever.
Hmm. I don't know. Maybe this isn't a fair question, but are you optimistic about the church in Australia, about the future of Christianity there, or is it?
I am, and partly because of what the scripture says. Jesus says, I will build my church.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty imperfect church, as it is in many places of the world, and we could look at it from a human standpoint and think, man, we're losing ground, we're going backwards, and maybe. But I know where we are, what God has called us to. There are so many open doors of ministry and opportunity. It's refreshing to just share the good news of Jesus Christ and see people's lives changed. And I see that God is building his church, maybe not the pace or the rate we would, you know, desire. But I know he's doing that in all places of the world too. And we just need to be faithful in giving out the word, the seed, and it will drop into good soil. God knows.
Seeing lives changed. That's the power of the gospel that we can't see in any other way. And so it's the reality of the gospel bearing fruit in lives. That's really awesome. Tell us about Trinity Baptist Church. Is it an old church, relatively new church? I know you've got some, vision for the area around there. So tell us about that.
Well, actually, we're relatively new.
Okay.
We came there in beginning of 2020. It's been going for, I think, 45 years. Okay. So it's had a number of different pastors. And, we thank God for those who were called to plant churches, and then God moves them on and others come. Every church has its ups and downs, but we feel like that God is really moving and working, and he's brought a leadership team together that hasn't been there of that number and quantity before, and quality of leadership that's allowing us now as a church to do things such as plant another church, which has been a vision, has been a desire of Trinity Baptist Church, but now it's actually happening. Mm. And we want to plant more churches.
Wow, that's great. The gospel bearing fruit and maturing within churches. That's fantastic. I've been asking this question more commonly. I don't want to do it every time, but I think for you guys especially. So who changed you? Not God. I mean, he's the one. But as you look back on your lives, who invested in your lives relationally at such a level that it marked you in a way that you'll never be the same? So who mentored, and then the follow-up would be, and what is it or was it about that person's life that was so impactful for you? Maybe I could ask you both that.
Yeah, well, I know I could probably point to at least five men in my life, but one of those men early on was actually an American missionary who ministered in Australia and then went to South Africa and came back to Australia. And we had the privilege of, he was preaching and teaching in our church in Brisbane. And he had the power of God upon his life in his ministry. He was crippled from the age of 18 in a football game. He was on crutches. You could tell he was in pain every day of his life, but he loved Jesus and he loved people. And I was what you'd call a rat bag teenager, like, you know.
Rat bag?
Yeah. I wasn't, the nicest kid or the most well-behaved young person, but I could tell he wasn't just looking out for the nice people, the spiritual people. He loved even the ratbag teenagers, whereas other people would have just, dismissed us. And that, I didn't realize it at the time, but his love for me, he just loved me where I was at, and that really made an impact in my life. And I know he was praying, but I really, really respected him. And, as I matured and as God got a hold of my heart, there was more direct influence that he had. But he was an encourager, a real encourager. And he just tried to take people to that next step, whatever it was. Didn't have high or impossible expectations. And that was the start of me actually stepping into some really early opportunities for Christian ministry. He kind of believed in me, whereas other people maybe wouldn't have given me a go.
Hmm. Wow, that's really good. I think I heard you say he loved Jesus and he cared about people. I mean, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. It really represented Christ for you. It's really powerful that those would be the things you'd pull out from his life. Mm. Jessica, what about you?
I think they're too numerous to recount. Mm. My parents most definitely set an example. My father loves the Word of God. I look to that with incredible thankfulness. I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian school and a Christian university, and I look back at my teachers that prayed for us and were very patient with us. I worked at a Christian camp for 10 summers of my life. and the people there, on particularly the staff. Again, it's older people investing time, their free time, even on weekends when, you know, at the camp, you know, we're supposed to be able to rest and recuperate. And they'd have us to their house and they would, you know, play games or we'd talk, and just developing the trust as a young person. I don't think I didn't trust easily, but developing, knowing that I could trust these people in my life. And when those big questions came up or I was struggling with something, I knew who I could go to and I knew that they would help and they would love me and they would give me a biblical answer. So yeah, I don't know if I could even name everyone. It's just been, the Lord has been so gracious to, I think I needed all that help. I've always said, I think if I didn't grow up in a Christian home, I think knowing my stubbornness, I don't know if I would have come to the Lord just as an adult. I think I would have rejected him. So the Lord knew what I needed to bring me to himself, and he surrounded me with wonderful Christian people who sacrificially gave to me.
Amen. I mentioned this before, but we really feel honored and privileged to be part of your support family, and thankful for the work that God's doing in your life. Praying that, you know, these years to come, that your fruitfulness would just grow and grow in that area. So thanks for joining us here on Harvest Time. Our prayers are that God would bless you immeasurably.
Well, thank you, Pastor Gary and Jessica, and I just want to express our love and appreciation to you, all the people at Harvest. It's a team effort.
Yeah.
But we know that the people here love God, love people, and love missions. And we feel privileged, we feel honored, we feel humbled to be a small part. We're on the receiving end, but we're very, very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Gary.
And thank you for listening to Harvest Time. Of course, at this point in the program, we always want to personally invite you again to Harvest Baptist Church this week, an 8:45 a.m. service and a 10:45 a.m. service, Spanish translation at 8:45, Japanese and Korean translation during the 10:45 a.m. service. You can also listen here on 88.1 FM and on khmg.org. We do hope to see you this Sunday. Thanks again for listening to Harvest Time.